Folks, we're a little less than $48,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Any size gift is deeply appreciated. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Here's the address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Now, for any size year-end contribution, we'll send you a CD of two sermons, one I preached on Christmas and the other on the baptism of Jesus. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2011. The most dangerous creed is the one that isn't written down, the one that you believe and you practice without even knowing what it says. And the culture certainly has a creed, just as the church does as well. Joining us to talk about that and our children, the effect of the culture's creed on our kids, Dr. Beverly Yonke. She's chair of the Department of Social Sciences at Concordia University, Wisconsin. She's executive co-director of Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, and she's author of a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled A New and Reckless Creed, Children and Culture. Dr. Yonke, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
The church certainly has its creeds. Does the culture also have its creed?
It's frightening, really. Not only does the cultural creed influence us, the creed is everywhere present, and it seems to be spawning new and more outrageous creations as we pass month through month through month. There's a wonderful book that was written some while ago by a gentleman named Goodluff, and he wrote Care in a Confused Climate. And he was talking about pastoral care, and he talked about the fact that postmodernism has really strained the efforts of Christians in pastoral care, particularly in the presence of our culture these days. And as I read through much of what he had to say, it occurred to me he was talking about a rival religion. He wasn't simply talking about culture as something that posed a variety of inconvenient truths for us, if you will, but he writes that at some level, our culture is teaching us that we actually have to be in charge of our own lives, an idea clearly in opposition to Christian truth. And ultimately, as we examine very carefully the kinds of creeds that exist out there, we understand that our culture is flocking in droves to what it is that our culture is offering to us. Our culture, for example, would have us believe a variety of things, some of which I've written about, others that are just too many to include in a brief article. I would say even more important than any of the other creeds the culture teaches us that religions are just too hung up on what God is like and who he or she really is, if he or she exists at all. Translation, pick a God that you like, go with that. And the implication is most people now believe there are all kinds of gods, each with a different power or authority, or some people have come to suspect that God is just some state of higher consciousness that a person may reach. And as a result, we have a culture that lives in a real desperate need of genuine Christian spirituality because we've been fed very, very low-calorie spiritual food. The creed of our culture teaches us radical ideas like there is no such thing as absolute truth. Whatever works for you, that's a good thing. The only thing our culture agrees anymore about truths is that you shouldn't wear fur, and that protesting against things we don't like is important. Those are the truths these days, and they're sad ones, which again point us in the direction of everything that is narcissistic and nothing that is faithful and nothing that is Christian. Our culture is also teaching us that, my goodness, we had better be able to take care of ourselves, that it is all about us. Taking care of number one is the heart of every success, and everybody better just fend for him or herself. So we have, the industry of self self-absorption and self-enrichment and self-actualization and self-esteem. It's become a destination spot because we believe that this is important. And because we believe that self is so important, our whole school curricula is being, in some ways, controverted in unhappy ways. So not only does the culture teach us this, our institutions within the culture, our public schools, our media, are teaching this as well. And as a part of this focus on me think, me need, me want, me desire, the culture's creed is telling us, you know what the ultimate goal is here? It's happiness. And that we as individuals and we as a whole society ought to be prepared to sacrifice nearly everything to achieve happiness. So corollaries are, if our marriage makes us unhappy, euthanize the marriage. If our job makes us unhappy, well, dump the job. Give yourself some space. Our culture teaches us that if our children demand too much of us and they need too much time, too much attention, too much coaching and caring, well, there are lots of ways we can meet our children's needs with coaches and therapists, and we can ultimately teach our children to be more personally resilient so that they don't need us as parents nearly so much. There is just a series of dreadful, awful beliefs of this nature. Then the creed goes on and on and on and on. And the frightful thing is that for a Christian to stand up and to say, you know what, that is just wrong. Not only is it inappropriate, not only is it just a little bit on the dangerous side of clear thinking, it's wrong. And the instant a Christian begins to make that kind of a value or judgment statement, the culture rears up and does everything humanly possible to suppress that information, to punish that person. And we can see that these days, now that I think about it, a remarkably big national scale. Think about the gentleman who is out in Colorado these days, the brand new quarterback rage. We've got Tim Tebow, who was son of his missionary parents, a gentleman who was homeschooled, and heaven forbid, this man has one of the things we value. He's an athlete. He's having successes on the football field. But what a dreadful person. He's talking about his faith. And not only is he talking about it in a quiet, whispered, apologetic, humble way, yes, I'm a Christian, he trumpets the nature of his faith. He is a living illustration of faith, admittedly from a little bit of a different evangelical bent than those of us in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. But nevertheless, the fact that this is a man of faith has completely made all kinds of unbelievers crazy. This man, after scoring a touchdown, doesn't engage in a three-minute happy dance, pointing to himself and writhing with all kinds of happy dance gestures. He has the habit, instead, of having a moment that's reverential. I believe it is kneeling in the end zone, although I've not actually seen it. And it's making people crazy because it's televised, it's public. Heaven forbid children could be influenced by this recognition of his subservience to a deity. And so he's come under a great deal of cultural fire simply because he simply won't stand away from his creed. And I guess I would go so far as to say if the media were to treat a Muslim quarterback as shabbily regarding the reverence of his faith, my heavens, the world would never stop punishing the media for punishing a Muslim. So our creed has spun in ways that are unhealthy, that influence our children, and worst of all, the creed of our culture is now, in many areas, becoming the predominant culture, the accepted culture. And the creed also, sadly, is one which we are expected to embrace, or we are likely to come under the very serious criticism of others who simply don't agree with us. So Christians are being invited to be silenced about matters of their faith, largely because our culture says everyone's entitled to his or her own values, and it's politically incorrect to impose your values or beliefs on someone else unless we're trying to suppress the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that case, we certainly would like to suppress as many people who are speaking it as possible. So it's a difficult time for parents to be able to ensure that when their children come out of the cultural soup and return home to tables and to bedsides and to home hearths, that children have a very clear opportunity for their parents to be the purveyors of wisdom, for their parents to teach not just Christian values, but genuine Christian faith, Christian virtues, and for parents to cultivate for their children's participation a life of faith at home, which involves worship, reading scripture, prayer, meditation, and conversation about our good and holy God.
Let's take a break. When we come back, she mentioned a Muslim, Tim Tebow. He might be commended if he were making a Muslim profession as a professional football player. Why is it that the culture singles out Christianity in this respect? We're talking about children and the culture, our toxic culture's creed. Dr. Beverly Yonke is our guest, chair of the Department of Social Sciences at Concordia University, Wisconsin, executive co-director of Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, and author of a recent column for the Lutheran Witness titled A New and Reckless Creed, Children and Culture. Also, after about 5 minutes more conversation with Dr. Yonke, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll be right back.
It's just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by. And feed them on your dream.
Rocking around the Christmas tree.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the Christmas season, coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Abortion clinic employees plead guilty to murder.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Two employees of a Philadelphia abortion clinic have pled guilty to murder in the deaths of one live, viable infant and a 41-year-old patient. The patient was given an overdose of painkillers after an abortion, and the baby was outright murdered after being born alive due to a botched abortion. Both employees are women who worked in the clinic of abortion doctor Kermit Gosnell, himself awaiting trial on similar charges. The maximum penalty in Pennsylvania for a third-degree murder conviction is 40 years in prison.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
The spiritual problem underneath that idea of the gospel being a chance for salvation is that it's not a chance for salvation. It's a sure salvation.
Despair not. He is near you, there standing at the door. Who best can help and cheer you and bids you weep no more?
Our great theologians write our hymns. Compare that to modern American evangelicalism, where the church's worship music is written by recording artists.
You don't get any more intimate than to be there on your knees in the manger of your church, receiving in your own mouth this Christ in his body and blood.
In a few minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week live this Friday afternoon, December the 9th. In the meantime, one more question on children and the toxic creed of culture with Dr. Beverly Yonke. Dr. Yonke, you mentioned before that if it were a Muslim Tim Tebow, he probably would be commended for professing his religion from the gridiron. Why does the culture single out Christianity for this kind of squelching, overwhelming tamping down?
I think an awful lot of people have wondered that within Christian circles, and I suspect a part of our genuine Christian creed is that we ordinarily are not going to engage in retribution, and we're not going to engage in a blowback of rage and bad-mouthing someone and being punitive. We instead seek patiently and gently to educate and to instruct. Muslims, when their religion has been affronted, can become very, very angry, very vocal, very publicly violent, and there are threats made. And so I think there is a fear of other religions, not necessarily out of respect for their creed, but a sense that they are so diverse and so different, we need to honor them. Christianity is so familiar. It's so Norman Rockwell. It is so same old, same old, and nothing ever happens when you badmouth a Christian. So why wouldn't you?
What is the message being sent to our kids when it is acceptable now for prominent or professing Christians to be, well, I can't think of a better word, mocked, because precisely because of that belief? What is the message the culture is attempting to send to us, and especially the one that our kids are picking up?
Well, our kids are learning that you are going to be bullied if you publicly profess those ideas, principles, or portions of faith that are not shared. And as children learn very early in elementary school, bullies prevail, and bullies inhibit behavior. And the best way to behave in the presence of bullies is to be silent, or you will simply be beaten up all the more. And so sometimes even Christian children imagine that when the culture mocks faith, that the only way to respond to that is to become silent, to become private, to keep a strong, powerful desire for Christian witness buried deeply so that you are not persecuted. So a Christian child really learns that there's a choice. You can become persecuted, or you can speak your faith quietly, boldly, confidently, and learn what it is that our Lord would have us learn when he says, take up your cross and follow me.
Dr. Beverly Yonke is chair of the Department of Social Sciences at Concordia University, Wisconsin, executive co-director of Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, and author of two recent columns for the Lutheran Witness, one titled A New and Reckless Creed, Children and Culture, and another titled Have Yourself an Awful Little Christmas. Dr. Yonke, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure. Blessings to you in this Advent season.